Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feasts of St. Cornelius and St. Cyprian, and I read a little commentary about him. In the face of the Roman persecutions, many 3rd century Christians apostatized, publicly renouncing Christ and his church. When these people repented and sought readmission to the church, some Christians insisted that they deserved excommunication. Others wanted to welcome them with outstretched arms, oblivious to the wound that they had caused in the body of Christ. Pope Cornelius and Cyprian, the Bishop of Carthage, were one in viewing the lapsed with the merciful eyes of Christ. Both advocated for penance, followed by reconciliation. Both Cornelius and Cyprian later received the crown of martyrdom. Cornelius in 253 and Cyprian in 258. That's two more people I want to meet. I really want to talk to them for what they did, for the mercy that they showed. People can turn away from the church for all kinds of things. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's pain. Sometimes they've been hurt by someone there and they just don't want to go anywhere near. There are all kinds of reasons why people can walk out of the church. Always be merciful when you see them. Always be kind. Always tell them you miss them. God will use you to bring them back to Christ. Let's take a look at the first reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 31 to chapter 13, verse 13. Here we go. Brothers and sisters, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts, but I shall show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love is not pompous. It's not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It's not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Brothers and sisters, let me just pause here in this reading. There's a little more to come. Let me say, how much is gossip part of your life? I've asked you that question before, but I really want you to pay attention to it. Don't gossip. Don't. If you think someone needs to have some information because it's important for that person and for you, then fine. Give it to whoever it needs to be given to. But normally, don't gossip. Love is not gossiping. Many people have been destroyed by that. You do not want to be part of that. For love, as the scripture tells us today, love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly, as in a mirror. But then, face to face. At present, I know partially. Then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, love remain. These three. But the greatest of these is love. We want to cultivate in our hearts faith, hope, and love. It could be a good goal for Lent, to increasing your faith, your hope, and your love. What do you read? How kind are you to your neighbor? What do you do for others? Are you acknowledging that all that you have comes from Christ? Oh, brothers and sisters, pay heed. Please pay heed. Psalm 33 tells us, bless the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. We're part of a blessed people. Do I know that I have been received by Christ? He loves me. He wants me with him. But I get enticed by this and that and the other thing. What am I going to do? Start with one thing that you need to give up. I've said this to you before, and I say it again. Don't try to change everything. Just take one thing and work on it. Something that might offend your neighbor or someone in your own home, your own family, or your people you work with, or your boss. What can I do? What can I do to change that aspect of my life? We want to. Psalm 33, give thanks to the Lord on the harp, with the 10-stringed lyre, chant his praises. Sing to him a new song, pluck the strings skillfully with shouts of gladness. I'd love to be able to do that. I really would be able to do that, but I can't. I'm not very good. I took piano lessons for many years, and I can probably play rather decently if I work on it. Beyond that, I can't do it. But I certainly can sing. I certainly can rejoice. I can smile at people. I can laugh with them. I can bring joy into the situation. Do you bring joy into the situations around you? Upright is the word of the Lord. His works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. What would life be without God? Bless the nation whose God is the Lord. We say we are one nation under God. Are we under God? Do we look to him as the source of life? Bless the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. That's what I want to be able to say all the time. Lord, bless our nation. Lord, bless us. Lord, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge your authority. We want to follow you. Help us. And he will do that. He will help us. You're never alone. You're never alone. God is with you every split second. And with me too. Sometimes that embarrasses me a little. And I have to change something, but I know that God sees me. And we can all make mistakes. We can all fail. But if we tell the Lord we're sorry and ask his help to change, you will receive it bit by bit. Be faithful. Gospel of Luke today, chapter 7, verses 31 to 35, tells us this. Jesus said to the crowds, to what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another. We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep. John the Baptist came neither eating food or drinking wine, and you said he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, look, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Have you ever spoken against, just because you were angry or miserable, that you spoke against another person? Yeah, he's good at that, but he's sure not good at this. He's not good at that. We can get into those kinds of conversations, brothers and sisters. We really need to banish them. I remember some years ago of being in the presence of a friend, and she was trying to change a habit. And she, of speaking about somebody, she was trying to cut down on her gossip. And so honestly, I started to laugh after a while because she'd start a sentence and stop halfway through it. Really? And maybe we all do. Maybe we need to stop. It could be a silent witness to someone who really needs to change. And I don't mean going around stopping conversations, but just if you find yourself gossiping, if you find yourself saying something negative about another person that's gossip, you're not the one in authority, it's all gossip, give it up. Please give it up, brothers and sisters. He loves us and he wants us to be like him. He doesn't say, I will be like you. He says, come, follow me. That's what we want. Follow him. I read this recently. In this world, for as long as it remains, no act of repentance is too late. Think of that. The path of approach to God's pardon remains open, and to those who seek it and understand its truth, access is easy. Though it is at the very exit and sunset of your life, suppose you're at the end of your life, that you entreat for your sins and you call on God, who is one and true, in confession and by faith, forgiveness is granted to you in response to your confession. Saving pardon is conceded you for your faith from God by his bounden duty as Father, and you pass at the point of death into immortality. These are the words of Saint Cyprian, and he says, he continues to say this, Christ imparts this grace, this gift of his mercy. He bestows from his subjection to death in the victory of the cross, by his redemption of the believer at the price of his own blood, by his reconciliation of humanity to his God and Father, by his restoration of mortal man to life through being born again from heaven. Let us all follow him, if we can. Let us be enrolled as citizens by taking his oath and under his standard. This is he who opened to us the way of life, he who makes possible our return to paradise, he who leads us to the kingdom of heaven. With him we will live forever, having been made through him sons of God, daughters of God. With him we will rejoice forever, having been restored through his own blood. We will be, as Christians, with Christ, and once glorified, blessed from God the Father, rejoicing always in God's sight with unfailing pleasure, and giving thanks always to God. For no one can be anything other than always joyful and grateful, who, though he had been subject to death, has now been made free from its fear of immortality. Brothers and sisters, God loves us. He loves you. He really loves you. He wants you with him in heaven. Please, stop the gossip. Stop passing rumors. Open your heart. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.